If we were to flip back through the pages of the Scripture, we would discover that there have been some great events and some great days in the development of Christianity. For instance, can you imagine what it must have been like on the days of creation when God spoke the worlds into existence? When He said, "Let there be light," and out of darkness light came. When He separated the darkness from the light and created day and night. Or follow on through all of the acts of creation, and with each one there would be a special kind of thrill. Can you imagine? When Adam, for the first time, opened his eyes and looked around, this man who had been made from the dust of the earth and was now made in the image of God. Or come a little further to the 6th chapter of Genesis and the finishing of Noah's Ark. And God said, "Take the animals that have gathered and put them in the ark, Noah. Lead them in. And there's a place for each one that I've sent." And then God closes the door of the ark and locks it. And then the rains, for the first time in all of the history of humanity, the rains begin to fall. And the flood begins to rise. And the people begin to cry out. For 120 years, they have heard the message to come and prepare. They have refused. And now they are caught. And Noah has to say, "I can't open the door. God has closed it. And He's the only one who can open it." Or come from the Old Testament to the New Testament and think about the evening, and I guess it was evening, when the angel came to Mary to tell her that she had been the chosen one to bear the Christ child. Or 9 months later, in that little village of Bethlehem, when that Christ child was born, deity robed in human flesh. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being with the shepherds out on the hillside when the angelic host came to say to them, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Or 33 years later, when He was hung upon a cross, and in all of the pain and passion that you can possibly imagine with your most pregnant imagination, when He there committed His spirit into the hands of God and died. Or 3 days later, when they went to the tomb to finish the burial procedure and He was risen. Can you imagine? Or 40 days later, when He stood with those 11 apostles on the Mount of Olives and He gave them their last instructions, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in all Jerusalem and Judea and to the uttermost parts of the world." And then He began to ascend into a cloud, and the cloud covered Him. And then two men in white apparel, most likely angels, said to them, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? For this same Jesus," hear the words, "this same Jesus which is taken up from you shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go."
You see, the greatest day and the greatest event in all of Christendom is still waiting. The Bible speaks of three great comings. There is first the coming of Christ into the world to be our Savior. That has been fulfilled, and in spite of the attempts of unscrupulous supposed scholars to challenge it, there is ample evidence to substantiate it. The film The Passion gives us a clear example of that. Jesus came the first time. And then there is the coming of the Holy Spirit into the lives of people. And we've read about it in the second chapter of Acts. You remember that the disciples were all gathered together in one place and in one accord. And in that sense of unity, suddenly there broke in upon them the Holy Spirit. And there was a dynamic occurrence, where there was a cloven tongue of fire, and then it split and landed upon each of them, and each was filled with the Holy Spirit. And the church was born. Out of that event, we sit here today as members of the universal church of Jesus Christ. That event was known as Pentecost. But the third one is only spoken of thus far. All through the scriptures we read about it. It's been sung about today. We have sung about it. We have read about it in the scripture. Let me proclaim it once more. Jesus is coming again. Our Lord will come back as He left. He will receive His chosen people. They will rise and meet Him in the air. And so will we ever be with the Lord. This event is known as the rapture, and it is the focus of the message today. Now, I warn you that you may not agree with everything that I'm about to say. Indeed, you may not agree with anything I'm about to say. But I trust that we can agree not to be disagreeable. So you take what I say and you measure it against the scripture, and then you tuck it in your minds and in your hearts and let it be profitable. The word rapture is not a biblical term. If you were to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you would never find the word rapture in the scripture. But it is a descriptive term to give us some understanding of what we can expect. Jesus is coming back again. Now let me see if I can help you to understand the word and its relevance to us. The word rapture simply means to be carried away, to be lifted out. Now get the picture, to be carried away or to be lifted out. When I was a little boy, my mother had good news clubs. How many of you know what a good news club is? There's a few of you who do. Well, a good news club was a club of children who came to our house every Thursday afternoon, right after school, to be taught the Bible, to sing together, and to learn about God. The gospel, you know, means good news. And my mother was very, very interested in seeing that children and adults alike got to hear the good news. And so one Thursday afternoon, the lesson was about the second coming of Christ. Now you may say, well, can children understand that? Well, of course they can. I was only 8 or 9 at the time. I remember it like it was yesterday. You see, Mother took construction paper of different colors and cut out figures of men and women and children, different sizes, different colors, and then at random put paper clips on the heads of some of them. And then she scattered them out on a card table. And she was teaching that day, as I said, about the second coming. And she had gotten an electronic magnet from somebody. I don't know where she borrowed it from, but she got it. And she held it over that card table. And she went about talking about this scripture that we read. And at the appropriate time, she pressed the button. You know what? I left something out of that story. Did I tell you that she at random put paper clips? Oh, I did tell you that. Then you know what happened, didn't you? Did all of the paper cutout people go up? No. Which ones did? Those who were prepared. Those who had the paper clips in their head. Now, understand, I'm not saying that everybody should get a paper clip in your head. That's not the idea here. But we need to be prepared to meet God. You see, according to Scripture, all humanity is divided into two categories. Don't miss that. There is only the saved and the lost. There's no in between. You are either saved or you're lost. Please understand that. You are either saved or you are lost. And when Christ comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Did you get it? Caught up, raptured, to meet our Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now there are three features that I want us to notice in this event called the rapture. First of all, there will be great sounds. Let me read the passage to you again. And as I read it, you pick out the sounds, will you? For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command. Sound number one. With the voice of the archangel. Sound number two. And with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now let's take those sounds one at a time. First of all, the command is the shout of victory. It will penetrate the graves. It will pierce the deepest depths of the sea and be heard by every living saint around the world. You say, Pastor, how is that possible? That sounds nonsensical. Well, it's not nonsensical. When I'm in my car, I have a button that I press. And when I press that button, I hear the radio. And the radio station is a good distance from here, maybe many miles. The fact of the matter is, I'm told that sound can be virtually instantly transmitted from one side of the world to the other. Not only sound, but pictures. It's all there. Isn't that something? You see, God created the sound. Man created the means for the transmission of the sound. And so we have this command. And you say, well, that might be fine for human beings. But what about for those who are dead? Some people have been dead for a long time. Well, think of the 11th chapter of John's Gospel for just a moment. You remember Jesus and his disciples were on a journey somewhere, and they got what was the equivalent of a first century telegram from Mary and Martha telling him that his friend Lazarus was very ill and he should hurry to visit him. And he smiled and took two more days just to sit around. And then he went, and Mary and Martha both said to him, Lord, if you had only been here, our brother would not have died. And Jesus said to them, don't you understand? I am, present tense, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, say it with me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Take me to the tomb. Let me demonstrate to you what I'm talking about. And they said, but Lord, he's been in the grave 4 days and it won't smell very good. Jesus said, let me worry about that. And they rolled the stone away, and he shouted in, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus, dressed in his grave clothes, stepped out of the tomb. Just a demonstration of what is to come. The command may be just one word. The very favorite word of the Bible with regard to grace. Isaiah said it this way, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Did you catch the word come? Come, let us reason together. Or he said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Or he said, he that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. Or suffer the little children to come to me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. In these scriptures, Jesus is inviting us to come now for salvation. But when he comes again, and the command is given, come up. Then those who have obeyed the first invitation will be qualified to be caught up in the second invitation. And then there's the voice of the archangel. You know, the scripture lists 2 archangels currently. There were 3 in the beginning. Michael, Gabriel, and who was the 3rd? Lucifer. Lucifer is no longer considered one of the divine archangels. Gabriel announced to Mary God's choice of her to become the mother of our Lord. Could have been Gabriel who first appeared to the shepherds. There will be a stir in heaven. And perhaps an angelic announcement on earth. And then the trumpet call. The trumpet traditionally was used to call troops to march. So let's put these 3 things together. These 3 sounds of the rapture. Perhaps Gabriel will announce the news of Christ's coming. Michael will blow the trumpet, and God sounding reveille that will get the attention of all the saints everywhere, and Jesus will utter the invitation, come. And a great host of people from all ages and all colors and all tribes and all peoples will gather and hear to him where he is. Well, that's the sounds. What about the sights of the rapture? The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Now, please notice, there is no substitute. This is Jesus himself. This is the same Jesus that the apostles saw rising, now coming back. Somebody says, what will he stand on? He doesn't need anything to stand on. He hung the stars in space. He put the earth in its place in the midst of the vapor. There was a time when he had himself hanging on a tree. But now those days are past. And this one who is the Word, the eternal Word, he who is God incarnate in human flesh, will come in the clouds, and we will be gathered up to meet him in the air. Heaven will open, sounds will be heard, Christ will descend. And the second coming of Jesus Christ will have taken place. You see, from the cross, he could look down through time to this event. He said, then I must of necessity go away. And then he added, in my Father's house are many mansions, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. This will be the greatest reunion in the history of the human race. Every trouble will be over for the Christian, and our blessed hope will have become a reality. But one more S, the sounds, the sight, and the strength of the rapture. What will happen to those on earth when he comes? I will try to give an account of the events in order according to Scripture. First, the dead in Christ will rise first. Back during the Second World War, I had a cousin who was in the Navy. His name was Albert. And Albert had a premonition that he would be killed in action. He came home for his last furlough before he went overseas. And he went AWOL for 63 days. Didn't get caught. But on that 63rd day, I came home from school, and Albert was in the dining room talking to my mother. I knew you don't interrupt in a situation like that. First thing you know, Albert and mother were on their knees at a dining room chair. And Albert repented, confessed his sin, and became a Christian. First thing he had to do was give himself up. And so the next day, he did just that. He was court-martialed and sent out immediately on a ship. And it wasn't long before the news came that the ship had been torpedoed and that Albert had been a victim of that event. He was buried at sea. I saw a picture of the burial. Never came home, of course. The ocean is deep and broad and wide. What do you suppose happened to Albert's body? Well, I can only imagine that it was consumed by the fish, who were consumed by other fish, who were consumed by other fish. Is there anything left? You see, the scripture declares that out of the deserts, out of the hollows, out of the seas, at the coming of Christ, the dead will rise first. When we die, our soul, if we are Christian, goes to be with the Lord. To be absent from the body, Paul declares, is to be present with the Lord. But when the second coming occurs, then the bodies will be raised and perfected, and that transformed body will once again house the soul and the spirit. How will it happen? I have no idea how God does what God does. But I do know that what He says He does, He does. That will be followed by the living Christians meeting Him. We which are alive and remain will be caught up with them. Every Christian that is alive when Christ comes back will be caught up. Can you imagine the chaos that will create? An airplane is flying and the pilot is a Christian and suddenly he disappears. People driving cars, suddenly they disappear. Bus drivers, railroad engineers, people in various places of responsibility will suddenly just disappear. To emphasize the universality of this event, Jesus said, for some it will be night, two sleeping in the same bed. Don't miss it now. One will be taken and the other will be left. It was morning in another place in the world, and two were working in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two grinding at the mill. It is now afternoon. One will be taken and the other. Isn't it necessary to have some great experience for this to happen, somebody says. And the answer to that is emphatically no. Don't we have to understand some great doctrine? And the answer to that is no. The thief hanging on the cross simply turned to Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And to that request, Jesus responded, today you shall be with me in paradise. You see, it is the simple response of faith. And then we shall all be changed. Paul said it this way, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised. Incorruptible, incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. It will be like an eagle catching away its prey. What a great event that will be. Are you ready for it? Dr. Herschel Ford tells of an experience that he had in Texas. He said he was attending a meeting, a tent meeting, with an old-fashioned revivalist preacher. Somebody said to me, why don't we have revival services anymore? You know what the answer to that is? Most people wouldn't come. But in this old-fashioned revival service in a tent meeting, the preacher got up to preach. And before he preached, he said to the congregation, I want every person here who is born again to come up front. Everyone who is truly in a right relationship with God, please come to the front. And there were streams of people that gathered at the front of that tent, but all over the seats there were scattered people who were left behind. And then the evangelist said, this is the way it will be when Jesus comes back. Some will be taken and others will be left. So powerful is the impact of that concept that Tim LaHaye has written a series of books called the Left Behind series. How is it with you? Are you ready? Are you ready? There will be no warning. Jesus said it will come as a thief in the night. When you least expect it. Are you ready? That's the big question. You say, preacher, why would you preach a sermon like this? Because this is one of the four fundamental doctrines upon which our denomination was founded over 100 years ago. And it has never changed one iota from that day until this. The truth is the truth and never varies. And we need to come to grips with the truth. I wonder, could it be today? Those prophetic scholars who study this subject and know it far better than I do would tell you that virtually every prophecy concerning the signs of the times is fulfilled. And it could happen today. Let us pray. Father, help us to come to grips with this wonderful teaching of the second coming of Christ and the blessed hope of the church. In Jesus' name, amen.